may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Recovery Radio broadcast recorded live at the Latah Recovery Center in downtown Moscow. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah Recovery Center located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affects us all, and to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continuing recovery. And I am Radio Johnny, and Denise is off today taking care of some business. So today is just going to be another edition of our chat with the director. The director is Mr. Daryl Keim, and he is in here with studio with me today. And good morning, Daryl. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Johnny. How about you?
I am just fine. Life is treating me well, not like a baby treats a diaper, so I'm pretty happy about that right now.
Yeah, that would kind of stink.
Yeah, it's kind of a stinky thing. Today we're going to carry on what we started about a month or so ago, which was a chat with the director, although we don't have any alternate chatters other than myself. And also we're in the studio with Aaron California, who's one of our interns and in counseling from University of Idaho. University of South Dakota. So he'll be sharing a little bit of information today, too.
And he's also a staff for the Crisis Center. He's some of the on-call staff for the Crisis Center.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have, I think we talked about that a little bit, how we have a pretty unique model for staffing in our Crisis Center. And we'll probably trickle through a little bit of that today just to remind people what's going on. So I'm going to throw it into your lap, Daryl, and ask the infinitely open-ended question of, what's going on at the Latah Recovery Center?
Oh, boy. What's going on at the center? Well, of course, we just had Soups On, which is our big annual fall fundraiser. Raised about $8,000. Had a variety of different local business sponsors that stepped up to help cover the cost of that. Had, I think, about 150 people show up. So it was a pretty good turnout. Local restaurants donated soup, and it was great. It was a lot of fun. Probably the biggest thing I've been working on, and this came as a complete surprise, was a couple months ago we had an anonymous donor step forward that challenged us to start an endowment fund with the Idaho Community Foundation. And to do that, you got to have $50,000, which is a lot of money.
That's more than I got on me.
Yeah, it's more than I typically carry, too. What can I say? So I spent several weeks trying to meet her challenge. What that person challenged us to do was we had to have $50,000, like I said, to start the fund. So she came to us and said, I've got $20,000 that I will give to you guys if you can match it, which would get us up to $40,000. And then our organization itself would need to put some money in, too, in order to get that foundation started.
Right.
So that's what I've spent a lot of time doing, was getting a variety of other donors in town that had the ability to give generously, to give to that endowment fund. And the beauty of an endowment fund is that it's money that it's set aside forever for recovery here in Latah County now. Every year, we'll get a small amount of the investment earnings off of it. So it might be a couple $1,000s a year. But that endowment will just continue to grow and grow and grow, as the stock market does. And even once our organization, you know, if we disappear for some reason, the endowment fund will still be there to help local recovery efforts.
Right, whatever form they may take or institution that they may be a part of. That's great. And I would imagine as the fund grows, if you're taking, say, a percentage from it, you can, that'll grow as well.
Yeah, part of how the endowment fund is laid out, and I know these numbers change every year, so this is kind of a for instance, but I think last year they gave 4.5% return on the investment. So if you had $50,000 in there, that must be what, $2,800?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like a lot. But when you consider that the stock market did better than 4.5% last year, it did, let's just say, 10%.
Yeah.
Then that means 5.5% went back towards the principal and that money.
Mm-hmm.
So compound interest being what it is, if people remember their high school math, 25 to 30 years, which is a long time, that turns into quadruple what we've got in there now, I think. Something like that. I'd have to get out my calculator.
Yeah, right.
But compound interest works to your advantage on this scale, and that money gradually becomes a very significant amount of money.
Right. Which
the rule I've heard for investing is the rule of seven.
Right.
And that is, if you're investing something like 10% of your income every year into a retirement account,
right,
then every 7 years, given average stock market returns, your account's going to double. And that gets really nice because it gets to the point where your account, you know, starts earning so much interest off of your investments that the amount you're actually investing is very small compared to the amount that your account is earning.
Right, exactly.
So we hope to slowly grow it to that point.
Well, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always, money is always a concern here, and it costs a lot to keep the lights on, pay the rent, and, you know, we have a minimal staff, and it's nice to know that there's always going to be something out there if, you know, Soups On doesn't perform well, or nobody shows up for the annual breakfast, which is coming up in March on, do we know yet?
I think March 3rd, if that's a Wednesday.
Okay.
Very early March on a Wednesday. And it's not just a breakfast now. You'll recall we expanded
to
A, COVID, and B, just even before COVID, we were looking at having to expand because we had 450 people at the University Inn, which is about their capacity.
Right.
So we've got a breakfast and a dessert. So
right.
7 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Right. I was there for both.
Yep, so
it,
was I.
It was. Yeah, I remember seeing you there. Kind of running around like a crazy man. Well, that's fabulous on that front. And I also understand that there may be some good news coming from the state as far as recovery center funding.
Well, there's nothing confirmed. I want to be clear about that. I've heard a couple of interesting rumors, though. Number one was something about $50,000 coming from health and welfare. I think the governor's budget told them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But $50,000 that would be specified towards rural recovery. I don't know what the strings would be on that yet, how they're going to define rural, but something about setting up outreach efforts for rural communities.
Right.
Which could be very interesting because downtown Moscow is rural, according to most people's definitions.
Right, sure.
So who knows what that'll look like. And then the other thing that I just recently heard about, and again, it's just a rumor, was that one of the state agencies that works in our local region would be doing a request for a proposal on some safe and sober housing here in Moscow, or possibly more than just here in Moscow, but certainly here in Moscow, which is desperately needed.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with safe and sober housing?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell the audience what you know about safe and sober housing? Because they might not be.
What I know about safe and sober housing is basically, it's usually they're smaller operations. They find a facility, a home, that has the ability to put in multiple either bedrooms or multiple living spaces. Sometimes I've seen them with, you know, bunk beds and kind of a barracks type operation. And it's a place where people who are in recovery can come in, live for, typically it's a specified period of time. They have programs set up to help the people with their recovery. They have curfews, they have work requirements, they have occasions, some of them will have UAs, you know, testing to make sure people are staying on the right road, on the road to recovery and health. And they also tend to work pretty closely with the courts for people who are in specialty courts, mental health court, drug court, to make sure that they're meeting their obligations there as well. and they're usually well-supervised. There's always a staff member there, and even a minor infraction of the house rules can result in expulsion. Sometimes. So it's serious stuff. It's for serious people that want to get sober.
Yeah, serious stuff for serious people that want to get sober. I have to agree with that 100%. And basically, I agree with everything that you said. What I will add is that quite often, especially I believe with the Oxford house model,
mm-hmm.
the people that are living there are coming up with their own rules and enforcing their own rules. In my understanding, there isn't, depends on the model, there isn't always somebody that's a staff member, quote
right.
unquote, on hand, but there is a house manager who might be one of the residents, maybe getting a break on the rent, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they would be the first person that's kind of in charge there. And then frequently enough, something like that would be associated with a local treatment agency or the recovery center to provide, mm-hmm. provide the counseling and recovery type services.
Right, right.
So there's a possibility that some money will be coming down that direction too. And that's been really interesting, actually. That's been the other thing I've been working on in addition to the fundraising efforts, the two fundraising efforts we just spoke about. And that is, there's a kind of an ad hoc committee consisting of myself, representatives from Sojourners Alliance, the local homeless shelter, and from a representative from IDOC, Idaho Department of Corrections. We've been talking because all three of our groups and many other groups know that there's a desperate need for housing in Moscow, not just safe and sober housing, but general housing. But
right.
you know, we're a recovery-related group, so we're talking recovery-related housing. So
right.
safe and sober housing or an Oxford house, that type of thing. We've been meeting about that, and the Department of Corrections representative put us into contact with a national group that helps fundraise for these things and has put together several rural types of these houses. So we're meeting with them. And then we've also met with the county commissioners who seem interested. We've met with the American Legion who has money for a project like this. The mm-hmm. city seems interested. You know, it seems like there's three of us sitting at a table and a whole squad of folks that are kind of walking around the table
right.
that are intrigued and see the value of it, but we just haven't quite gotten it to pop yet.
Right.
So that's a pretty interesting effort, and I think it's going to come to fruition in the next few months.
That'd be awesome.
It would be
awesome.
It would be badly needed. Housing in general is just about to get really bad in Moscow with the closure. Well, Idaho Inn has been
right.
sold. It used to be short-term housing, from my understanding.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a hotel up at the top of the hill.
Hilltop.
The Hilltop. Yep. I always get that one mixed up with the one over in Pullman that has a
right,
similar
right.
name, so I always try and play it off as the hotel at the top of the hill. But there's that one that I understand is also lined up to be purchased and be.
It's been sold, and they're evicting everybody out.
I knew they were to the point of evicting, but I hadn't heard the sale was completely finalized.
Yeah, it's done as far as I know.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at with it. But
yeah.
that loses a lot of the low-income housing that there is in Moscow.
Right, sure.
In fact, I think it loses 90% of it, just making a number off the top of my head
right.
to emphasize the importance of it. Because there are no other cheap hotels to provide long-term stays
right.
in town.
Yeah, and it's I personally know some people that have been longtime residents up there at Hilltop, and
same here.
They're having a heck of a time because
Hillcrest, by the way.
Oh, Hillcrest.
Hilltop is the Pullman one.
Right, Hillcrest.
I knew
you're right.
I thought about it for a minute, it would come to me.
Because most of them are carrying felony convictions, it makes it incredibly difficult. Some of the rental agencies won't even talk to them.
Exactly right. So where do they go?
Right.
There's no place in Moscow right now.
Right.
And not that a safe and sober house is the solution. It's not.
No, it's short term.
For those folks,
typically.
But that's what we can do because we are a recovery-related organization.
Right.
So, and there's certainly a bad need for safe and sober housing in the area too. Hey, can we digress a little bit?
Sure.
Aaron California is here, and he doesn't want to be here for the whole hour.
Okay, sure.
So
let's shift over to Aaron, and we'll come back to what's going on with you, et cetera, later.
Okay, so I'm Aaron California. I am, just to recap, a Master of Social Work interned here at the Lakeside Recovery Center through the University of South Dakota. And again, I handle crisis calls, and I also provide traditional therapy sessions for individuals who going through emotional challenges, behavioral issues, or even addictions. And one of the things that I do, besides counseling, because social work is more than just counseling, believe that or not, is I'm heading a small fundraiser here through the Lakeside Recovery Center. Real fun one, actually. You know, normally you might donate a few bucks and, you know, you just trust that your money is going to the good cause. But this time, it you might get something in return. So for this raffle, we're raffling off two round-trip airline tickets from Alaska Airlines. So each ticket, we have a maximum number of tickets we're going to sell. That's a 100 tickets. Some, about 20 have been sold, so they're going. Each ticket's $10. You can purchase them here at the center or on the Lakeside Recovery Center website. And that puts you in for the raffle. And on, I believe it's November 29th of the last, close to the last day of November, we're going to pick one winner. And that winner will get those two round-trip airline tickets. And I believe each ticket is worth a little over $150 or close to $200 each, somewhere thereabouts, which is a great opportunity to get away if you've been stuck inside for the last couple of years because of COVID. You or don't have that kind of money to travel normally. It's a fun way to support what we're doing here at the Lakeside Recovery Center. And then also a fun way to maybe get out the house and do a little bit of traveling.
Yeah, get a little money back or, you know, use those tickets into the wintertime when it's too damn cold to be around here. That would be a great thing.
No, that's very true. Yeah, winter is coming, and if you want to travel to maybe have a winter house somewhere where it's warmer, you could go there for guest free this time, I guess.
There you go. Perfect. Well, thanks for that info. And it's a raffle. The tickets are $10 a piece, and you can get them here at the Recovery Center. Is anybody else going to be selling those in the neighborhood, or pretty much keeping it right here in-house? Because I knew Soups On was like you could get them at the co-op and
we're just keeping this one in-house with the limitation of just 100 tickets, doing a little advertising on Facebook to see if that makes a difference.
Oh, cool.
This one kind of just fell in our lap. We had an anonymous donor that couldn't use these tickets, so they just said, hey, can you do something with these? And I thought, well, yeah, let's try this.
Hey, every nickel helps.
Darn right.
Yeah.
Quarters are better, though.
Yeah, that's true. And that folding money, we'll never turn that down.
That's true, too.
Thanks again, Aaron, for that update. And we'll put that out on our weekly update of information. Speaking of update of information, we have a turkey dinner to go coming up.
We do. I believe that was Thursday the 18th, I think is when it was.
Yep, Thursday, November 18th from 4 to 6 p.m.
Yep. Yep, we're doing it pretty much how we did it last year, which means we're not having a big to-do here at the center, but people come into the front, we'll have meals to go. And if they want to stay here, they're welcome to stay here.
Right.
But it's grab and go.
And we do have a big table in here, so if people want to congregate and have their meals together, that's a good thing too.
Yeah.
So mark your calendars, November 18th.
Yep, keeping it simple, keeping it safe, but trying to have a little social also.
What other things are coming up in the not-too-distant future that you may be aware of?
Not too much outside the norm right now, Johnny. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got the holidays coming up. Probably the biggest other effort that we are pushing right now that we haven't talked about for a long time is our effort on campus, Vandal Recovery.
Right.
We're going Tuesdays and Thursdays. I think it's 3 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when it is. But we moved locations, so we're at the center, you might formerly known as the Campus Christian Center.
Right.
We're there twice a week. We're offering recovery coaching. I know our staff that's in charge of that, April, is trying to get some study groups started and things like that. And, you know, starting things with the students, kind of a slow go.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just slowly pushing that program and planning over a long period of time to grow it.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, the center up there, that's a really good facility. There's lots of space and
it's right
nicely
on campus.
Centrally located, yeah. Just up the block from the student center and Starbucks and the bookstore, yeah. And all that. So yeah, it's easy to get to.
It's basically on campus.
Yeah.
So it's very convenient for the students, but we wanted something that was different from our regular recovery center on Main Street to target students and help the students out.
Right, to be able to get them something tuned in a little bit more to their college yeah. experience.
Yeah, so a lot of them aren't attuned even to the idea of recovery. You know, they don't have a problem. They're far too young to realize they have a problem, I should say.
Yes.
So we're there just to kind of introduce the concept and slowly walk them through the help when they need it and provide a safe place.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. Even though I know they have services on campus, a peer-to-peer type of model like we use can sometimes be more effective than people might be a little hesitant to go in and spill their guts to.
It feels like a lower threshold to cross to me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
a good way to put it, yeah.
Versus a student to, you know, somebody who's maybe ancient, like 30 or older.
Oh, God. Yeah, not that. Not that.
Yeah.
That'd be awful.
Yeah. Now, of course, the other effort that we have that I think we discussed last time we chatted is harm reduction.
Right. That was going to be the next thing I skipped to. Do you have any boring numbers for us? Because people seem to be interested in that.
You know, not a lot. It's not a hugely used program of ours.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you we have about 4 people that are actively participating in the syringe exchange, which you'll recall includes testing for hepatitis C and AIDS to make sure that disease isn't being spread via the use of needles. And also includes clean needles and the other works that they need in order to be able to safely use those needles. So sterile
right.
water, probably alcohol swabs, things like that.
Too. Right, right.
So we got that. And then also part of the harm reduction effort is we have a condom shop. That's probably the one with the bigger numbers. I think we give out something like 150 to 200 condoms a month.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't verified this myself, but I believe that the condoms are mostly going to college students.
Mm-hmm.
Not a shocker.
No, not too surprising, but good news nonetheless.
Yeah, and the nice thing with the harm reduction is it's not just here's your stuff, go have fun.
Mm-hmm.
That fun, by the way, was in quotes. You folks can't see that on the radio.
Right, right.
But also, they're required to meet our recovery coach and become a little bit familiar with the recovery efforts that are here at the recovery center. Because the idea is that it keeps people safe.
Right.
It saves lives, undoubtedly. And B, it also starts getting them through the door so that when they want to make a life change, they know where to go and they already have friends there that are there to help them.
Right.
And speaking of saving lives, we shouldn't forget to mention the naloxone that we pass out also,
right.
Also known as Narcan. And for those of you that don't know what that is an opiate reversal drug. So if somebody is laying on the floor unconscious because they took some prescription medication that they shouldn't be taking or too much of
right.
it or some other sort of opioid-type drug, they can take Narcan. It's administered through the nasal spray, just like taking a nasal spray for a cough.
Mm-hmm.
And that reverses the effect of the drug and can very quickly and very, very efficiently save their life.
Right.
Wakes them right up.
And we've had a few events already
of
that.
Where the Narcan that we had passed out was used to resuscitate people.
Yeah. Yeah. And just so people who are listening are not familiar necessarily with recovery process, I just want to throw this out that when we counsel people who come into for the Safe Syringe Exchange Program, there's basically 3 levels. There's pre-contemplation, which is a person who is addicted and is so wrapped up in their addiction that basically they've never even considered trying to find their way out. There's the contemplative state where it occurs to them that maybe this is really a dead-end road for me and I need to do something about it, or I should think about doing something about it, and then, you know, straight into recovery at that point, which is, you know, they've made the decision to do something and now they're acting on the decision. So even when people come in and they're just, yeah, give me a clean needle. Well, we need you to know.
A little more than that.
A little more than that. And because we know historically, people typically recognize that they have an issue before, long before the idea of recovery comes into their mind.
Yeah.
You know, even in the early, early stages of addiction, maybe somebody's just using on the weekends or, you know, in a party environment. Then it creeps up to, well, in the middle of the week, I need a little something to take the edge off, or, you know, and it progresses. Addiction is a progressive disease. It only gets worse, never better, unless there's an interruption, you know, period of sobriety, followed by some actions, you know, to maintain that. And that's why we have so many meetings here. AA, NA, Overeaters, Sexaholics Anonymous, you know, all those, we'd like to be able to have space for all of those people who feel they're living in an unhealthy environment and want to make a change. So that's all good stuff.
Absolutely.
I want to touch base with you something near and dear to my heart, which is the Artist in Residence program is going to be firing back up again.
Cross our fingers. I put in a grant funding for that. I put in a request for grant funding for that with the Latah Community Foundation. So we should know in the next couple of weeks for, I can't recall if I requested $2,000 or $2,500. But the idea was $500 stipend for three different artists over the course of a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little extra money to be able to advertise it and buy supplies too.
Right, exactly. And the way that it's worked here in the past is that there's a $500 stipend, which is paid out to the selected artist when they start their residency. And then supplies basically ordered through the center. You give a list to Daryl. He goes online, gets them what they need. And we provide space at the center specifically for the teaching obligation that the artist has. We like to have the artist do a minimum of four, a maximum of however many they can do, sessions where they work with the peers and volunteers and just whoever wants to come in and take advantage of it.
Yeah, how I wrote it up in the grant was, I think it was a minimum of once a month the artist would hold a session for mm-hmm. for the peers to come in and learn how to do that type of art.
Mm-hmm.
And by art, you know, we're not limited to paintings. Could be music. Could be all different types of art. So it could be free music lessons, whatever type of art that the artist specializes in. And then also in the grant, I wrote in that the artist would get a gallery show.
Right, which happens at the end. Yeah. And now with Moscow Art Walk becoming a almost year-round thing, I think they're doing something from, is it October through?
I think so.
Through February or?
I think so. Yeah. I think they've still got their one big night.
Right.
But then they're trying to do.
Right.
And I'm not sure if that's due to COVID or just they're trying to expand their effort.
Yeah, I think they're expanding their effort to just to make it, well, Moscow.
Heart of the Arts.
That's one of the mottos. So absolutely a good idea. But so we're going to try and have the artist involved in those issues as well. We had kind of small attendance for our first AIR's gallery show, and second one got a little bit better. And I think now that personally I know how to promote it a little bit better, we're getting it promoted a little better, and hopefully it'll get bigger and bigger. And it's been a lot of fun. We've done photography. We've done ink making. We've done different types of, we even had one of our artists work with put on a weekly art class. People have taken advantage of it, and you know, we see different people coming in. And so for the artists out there that are listening to us right now, you know, keep your eye on the Latah Recovery Center website, and we'll put out our call, and I hope we get a lot of responses this time coming through. It's a great opportunity.
You just reminded me of something. It's super minor, but it's kind of fun. I actually had a chance. I actually got a little bit bored one day, which rarely happens here, and I redesigned our website.
Ah.
So if people are bored, they can go to latarrecoverycenter.org. They can buy a raffle ticket and look at our redesigned website.
Fantastic. I need to do that.
It's not a huge redesign, but I added some pages. I added a staff page so people could learn about who our staff are and see what they look like. And I added a sponsors page listing some of our major corporate sponsors. And I just kind of rewrote a few things.
Cool. So that's exciting. And I know we've always had a contribution tab on the bottom, and you know, people yep. feel free to use that
if they
as
want
much
to.
As you want.
But yeah, it'd been 6 years since I really did any redesign on that website, so I figured it was probably due. It's still not perfect by any means, but what the heck.
Yeah, there you go. And we're still working on getting a as far as the board of directors has a bunch of different subcommittees. We're still looking for someone to chair the marketing committee, Kelsey. Once we get that going, we've had certain people say they'd like to throw in and help with things like we do Facebook and very little Instagram, I think, and occasional.
So we have Instagram associated with Vandal Recovery.
Yeah.
So when Vandal Recovery's got some active volunteers, Instagram goes okay, but I handle Facebook.
Right.
So we got, I don't know, 1,000 followers on Facebook, and I post stuff multiple times a week. Instagram, much smaller effort.
Right, right. Yeah, it tends to be a...
Twitter, too.
Twitter? Oh, we're back with Twitter?
Just a little bit. When I send out my Monday announcements that I send out roughly twice a month, they automatically post to our Twitter account, too.
Oh, cool. Cool, cool. So what else have we got going on here? What
stuff that comes to my mind.
That's the big stuff. How about...
Kind of a bit of a lull, and that's kind of intentional because I mentioned that integration grant.
I don't think you did.
No. So, okay, we can talk about that because if we get that, then we're about to get very busy.
Mm-hmm.
So the integration grant is a $200,000 grant that we were contacted about a couple months ago. And the idea is that they're going to award a couple of these in Idaho, and it's being done through the Department of Health and Welfare. And the idea, I already said integration, the idea is that as people are getting ready to come out of the local jail or the local prison, they want to integrate them back into the community better. So quite often right now when people get out of jail or out of prison, they're just kind of let go.
Right.
And, you know, a high percentage of folks that are in jail or prison have co-occurring disorders of some variety or another. And by that, I'm talking they have a mental health issue tied in with a substance use disorder issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's highly common.
Really? Yeah.
Super, super common. That's how we're treating individuals in Idaho is we're putting them in prison.
Right.
So they go to prison and or jail. And for that period of time, ideally at least, they don't have any access to any of those substances. And they're getting treatment for their mental health issues. So we take them and we, you know, the analogy I've always read is you take a plant that's not doing very well. You repot it, you water it, you fertilize it, you make it healthy. And then you put it back in the soil that you got it from originally. And you wonder why it goes back to not doing very well.
Right.
So the idea here is let's keep that, let's change that original soil too. Let's, you know, they've been to prison or jail. So once they're getting closer to the time when they're going to get out, let's start setting them up with medical professionals. Let's start setting them up with a case manager. Let's introduce them to recovery coaching. And then as they get out of jail, let's keep those services coming. So let's have that first day out of jail not be, here you are, you're free, bye. Instead, yeah. Let's have a programmed day for them. Let's introduce them to the recovery center. Let's introduce them to their new recovery coach if they have to change because they were in the jail and now they're out of
right.
the jail.
Sure.
So this is that type of an effort. So if we get the grant, and it is a competitive grant with, I don't know, a dozen or more other folks that we're applying against, but we put in a strong application. If we get the grant, and this is the really cool thing about this grant, we'll be working with the county and all of their resources because they're the ones that contacted us and asked if we'd be interested in working with them on putting together this grant proposal. So we're tied in with the county, which gets us excellent contacts into the jail because the county runs the jail.
Yes.
And built into the grant is some varieties of medical service, some varieties of transportation for folks. It would mean some expansion of our staffing. It could be very, very good for the local community.
Right.
So that's kind of why we don't have a heck of a lot else going on, because between that and that housing that I mentioned earlier,
right,
if both those pop at the same time and happen, you're not going to see me other than like Flash Gordon running around town.
Tending to those different, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting people's ears and wallets, yes, and
building all those relationships, or
right,
or reaffirming all those relationships and getting all those memorandums of understanding and all that into place. And that reintegration grant we're supposed to hear sometime in early November. So keeping in mind I'm talking about the state, what that really means is they said early November, so sometime between now and January 30th of 2023.
Right.
I'm joking, joking. But but sometime in the next few weeks or maybe a month, we're mm-hmm. going to hear that. And they want it to start in early January, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we don't hear until much later than November, they probably still want us to start within a month or two of the notification. So we got to be ready to run.
Right. And that's, wow, that's going to be huge.
Could be, if we're lucky enough to get it. And we put together a very strong proposal with the county.
You know, something that just popped back into my mind, too, because obviously this integration and sober housing may, you know, cross paths at certain points.
You think those might be linked?
Yeah, they might be. there's always the issue of the not in my backyard things.
Oh, yes.
Now, I know that Sojourners Alliance has had a excellent relationship with their neighbors out there off Morton Street. Has anyone in the community that might be a property owner or rental management company been involved in this to test the waters?
Not at this point. We wanted to have some funding identified first before we started rattling any cages on where would we locate this. And of course, mm-hmm. here in Moscow, housing is so tight right now, it's ridiculous.
Right, yeah.
We were talking earlier about the tightness and the low-income hotels that are going away, but housing of any variety, just super tight.
Right.
So we haven't gotten to that point.
I've had realtors literally knocking on my door asking me, you interested in selling?
Me too.
And offering me a ridiculous amount of money. So.
Me too. And every time I get one of the, I've gotten letters,
right,
phone calls, you know,
emails,
all that,
everything.
And every time I get one of those letters, I look at it and I go, but the problem is I'd have to move out of Moscow in order to realize any gain on this. Otherwise, I'm just buying back into the same market.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, my house is worth a lot more than what I paid for it, but I'd have to pay somebody else for the house that's worth a lot more than what they paid for it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, buying up would just not be an option.
No.
You know, my wife and I have talked about, you know, cashing in and buying down. But, you know, even that, to get into something that's, you know, less than 5-bedroom, 3-bath, split level on a half acre that we have now is just we're going to pay double what we paid for this thing 20 years ago to get into something half the size.
So I was just going to say, yeah, probably more than double.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So fantastic.
Yeah.
Last thoughts?
Not too much. Probably the other exciting thing. I keep saying we're out of things, then I realize there's more things.
There's more things. Well, that's why we...
We're hoping for, you know, I've been talking remodel for a year now.
Yeah, where the heck are we on that?
So the builder got a hold of me and said that he planned sometime in November to start.
Fantastic.
So I didn't try and pin him down on what day in November, but I imagine he's trying to work outside and do as many outside projects as he can before the rainy season hits. So today's rainy.
Yeah.
Feel free to start building.
Right, exactly, exactly. Do we have...
We're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, do we have any concept on how that's going to impact the operations here?
Well, we're not planning on closing or missing any services in that way. I've talked with the folks that run the crisis center that we're affiliated with, and we'll temporarily move some staff into some of the rooms over here that aren't used much for the crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's only for a short term of a month or so, you know, they can... The crisis center will suck it up a little bit and let us use that space for a bit.
Which sure.
Is very kind of them.
Right, right. Well, they allow us to use this conference room for Recovery Radio once a week.
Yes,
so
and in
that's
fact,
nice.
I would predict that this conference room won't be available for Recovery Radio during that period. Just so you know, Johnny.
Well, we'll
be,
do what
used
we can
by staff.
Do. We'll do what we can do. We'll buy the staff lunch and send them away for
there you go.
45 minutes to an hour.
They'd probably take you up on that.
Yeah, they probably
have to be lunch.
Well, they'll be disappointed when they find out it's a sack lunch, peanut butter and jelly, and piece of fruit, and one of those little institutional milks. But better than a hot stick in the eye. That's my motto.
That's true.
Well, fantastic. That's. I'm glad to hear that's coming up. I know that's been. When we went out for bid in the contract? What, last winter?
Yeah, it was about last winter.
Yeah.
And it seems like so much longer because we've been doing the remodel. You know, we got the plans for this remodel when we put in the crisis center.
Right.
And we made it a long-term goal. So that was like 2017 or 18.
Yeah.
So it feels like it's been forever, but really it hasn't.
Right.
It's just, you know, you have that picture years in advance, and we didn't even expect we'd be able to do it for a few years. So
right.
It's really moved pretty fast. But, yeah.
Yeah, and it's going to be, I mean, the snapshot, you know, or the plan I looked at is just going to make it so much better to use for, you know, people's privacy and...
I believe so.
A better use of the spaces to make sure people can... You know, come in and meet their needs, and it'll give it, I don't want to say a more professional look, but at least a more organized look.
At least the disorganization will be behind walls and doors.
Right, exactly. What's the old saying? What the eye can't see, the mind can't follow. So, yeah. Not that we're horribly disorganized, but we have been very flexible, but with what we've been blessed to have up to this point, and nobody's burned the place down yet, you know, despite their best efforts.
Yeah, knock on that wood table, please.
Yeah. There we go. Well, fantastic. Well, we're just about up against the clock right here, and do you have any other things that you remembered last minute?
Nope. I just hope everybody has a super fantastic day.
Fantastic. Well,
no, super fantastic.
Super fantastic. Well,
got to get that right.
Pardon me.
I used to have a boss that always said that.
So super fantastic.
I stole it from him. Have a super fantastic day. They're all like, what the hell, Steve? But I stole it. I liked it.
Perfect. Well, I'll close up with my usual Recovery Radio here. You know, if you think you have a problem with alcohol, other drugs, or mental health issues, you do.
Sun is shining in the sky. There ain't a cloud in sight. blue sky.
Please tell us why you had to hide away for so long. Where did we go wrong?
Thank you.